The people of South Africa are voting today in general elections. My colleague Linda Bordoni, who's South African, takes a closer look.
South Africans are voting in what is expected to be the most competitive general election since the end of apartheid in 1994. The ruling ANC party, led by Jacob Zuma, is expected to win, but it could lose its two-thirds majority in parliament, which allows it to change the constitution. Its rivals include a party which split from the ANC last year, the Congress of the People, known as COPE, as well as the official Opposition Democratic Alliance. The Independent Electoral Commission says it expects a high turnout. Some 20,000 polling stations are being used for the more than 23 million registered voters. But why is the world looking to South Africa today? Why is just another African election being followed with such attention and preoccupation across the globe?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that we should look at. To the rest of the world, I think in the last 14, 16 months, Africa has had quite a mixed bag in terms of elections.
Father Peter John Pearson is director of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference Parliamentary Liaison Office.
There have been what are now commonly called the stolen elections of Kenya and Zimbabwe, with the attendant violence that accompanied those elections. There have been the elections in Ghana, which were peaceful, even though tense at times. There was Angola, which is growing increasingly into a democratic ethos in terms of elections. I think South Africa has had three elections in the democratic era that have all been free and fair beyond any doubt. But now, with this one, I think there's the added dimension that not only is it an indicator that Africa can produce democratic and well-run elections, but I think it's one in which the ruling party has had quite a high-profile kind of split, and therefore the competition for votes that were formerly in one camp is now much more intense, and this could have led to violence. This had the potential for violence, but it hasn't been actualized. And that's, I think, a sign of maturity. And the world's looking to see if that maturity during the campaign period will also be sustained at the polls.
The split, Father Pearson mentions, is the reason that makes this South African election different from the previous two that were held in the post-apartheid era. COPE, the new opposition party, hewn from the ruling African National Congress, is challenging its dominance. And even if it can't win this year, it may have altered the landscape of South African politics.
You've mentioned the split that happened in the ANC. This seems to have really galvanized voters in a way. Do you think the presence of COPE is positive in a democratic scenario?
Look, I think the more voices that are brought to the marketplace of ideas when you're facing huge problems of poverty, of HIV/AIDS, of charges of corruption inciting, I think the more voices that are brought to discussing the resolution of those sometimes seemingly intractable problems, the better. So I think democracy is well served, not just by the presence of many parties. We know that that's not always the case, but that parties who have ideas, policies, contest those ideas and policies, I think, can only be helpful and useful. Yes, and I do think any party that has such a huge majority is helped by more voices calling for accountability, creativity in political thought.
Yes, the huge majority enjoyed by the ruling ANC derives, of course, from the heritage of its glorious past. The ANC was in fact the party led by legendary Nelson Mandela, the man who lifted the harness of apartheid and who shaped the new political and social fabric of South Africa. Father Pearson also mentions the main challenges faced by the current leadership, namely unemployment, crime and the HIV pandemic, key issues the ANC has always campaigned on. However, many criticise the government for not doing enough to address these vital issues. From Cape Town, Justin Sylvester Political researcher with the Political Information Monitoring Service, IDASA, told me that especially the poor are questioning their leaders.
Well, I think there are some successes that the ruling party can point to. But of course, as you rightly put out, that if one looks across South African society, largely the socioeconomic challenges that the country faced at the dawn of democracy in 1994 are pretty much still around. You know, we've got high levels of unemployment, increasing levels of inequality, although poverty in general has actually declined in that time. And, you know, we've seen this emergent black middle class, but of course the economic fruits, if I can call it that, of democracy haven't exactly trickled down to where it matters, which is among the mass of poor people that we have in South Africa. So yes, there definitely is a level of discontent among the populace, and I think that may play a key role in the election, although I don't foresee that it would lead to the ANC losing that much support, because the interesting thing is that despite continued levels of discontent, the ANC is still perceived as the party of the poor and the party most likely to deliver on these issues.
One of the protagonists, actually the main protagonist in this election, is Jacob Zuma, a controversial figure who ousted former President Thabo Mbeki and took his place at the head of the ANC. A man who has been charged with corruption, rape and arms dealing, and who has raised more than a few eyebrows in the Western world as he regularly appears at rallies and feasts dressed in traditional Zulu leopard skins and with a following of wives, hardly adhering to the kind of image we normally have of a democratic leader of an economic power.
Justin, maybe you can help us understand what the secret of Jacob Zuma's success is.
Well, I think if one looks at his career, he's got a long history within the ANC, particularly before 1994, within the liberation struggle. And I think that the ascension of Zuma had a lot to do with the discontent and dissatisfaction among a large section of the ANC with Thabo Mbeki. So I think his ascension has had a lot to do with replacing Mbeki. And then, of course, he's also very charismatic and quite popular. He is popular among the poor, is commended for being different to Mbeki in the sense that Mbeki was always criticized as being more aloof and perhaps not as in touch with the people.
So, in synthesis, there are six parties running for votes in these polls. Although it's widely expected that the ANC will win and that Zuma will become next president, this election is the biggest test for the ANC since it came to power in 1994. Undeniably, it's an important moment for South Africans, who are well over the elation the historic election brought and the birth of what was called the Rainbow Nation. Today, they are grappling with all the problems inherent in a largely poor society, as well as with the current worldwide recession. And yet, reports have been suggesting there is voter cynicism and apathy, especially among the young. I asked Justin if he thinks that's true.
Well, I think coming back to the numbers of registration, and that has been a common criticism that the youth in South Africa are apathetic and not interested in politics, as opposed to the older generation, which of course lived through apartheid and fought the struggle, etc. But I think if we look at the number of registrations of that 3 million new voters, 1.7 million are actually between the ages of 18 and 29, the bulk of whom are actually first-time voters. So I think the youth are now coming to the party, as it were, and I think that we'll see higher levels of turnout among youth voters, which is interesting because, of course, they don't bring the same history that the older cohorts do. And so it'll be interesting to see where their votes go and what the issues are that they vote according to.
I must say, in my conversations, both with Father Pearson and with Justin Sylvester, I got the strong feeling they were both hopeful for the future and optimistic as regards the political maturity of the South African population. Father Pearson also told me that the South African bishops have been extremely present during the run-up to these elections and have published a pastoral letter addressed to the Catholic community, calling on all to stand up for their convictions and show respect for the views of others.
The letters which the bishops have sent, there have been two letters in recent times, encouraging people to vote, saying that that was an important way of raising their voice in the political domain, in decision-making, that the political infrastructure in this country is geared towards public participation, and that's what every Catholic ought to do. And then encourage people to look at the real issues on the table and say which party has not only the best ideas, but which parties have creative ways of looking at things, but more so ways that are in sync with the kinds of value-based approaches that the church has. And the church has brought to the table of public life in this country very real assets, I think, not least the kinds of assets around social health, around, you know, providing antiretrovirals in the AIDS ministry or the response to the pandemic, in schooling, in social welfare. The church has brought real assets. And the church brings the asset of also a cross-section of the public and the goodwill of that public to the table. And so I think those are all very strong pluses that have been strong language, strong call for vigilance, strong statement around, you know, democracy safeguarded by all of us being vigilant and taking part and not leaving politics to the politicians alone.
Yes, in his letter, the Archbishop of Johannesburg, Buti Tlagale, asks all Christians to pray that these elections may bring about a deepening of our democracy. May the choices we make, he writes, bring hope to the poor, unity to all our people, and a more secure and peaceful future for our children. Final results of the election are due in on Sunday. Meanwhile, writes Archbishop Tlagale, we hope that these prayers will inspire us to move to action so that the Church can become a strong force in bringing justice and peace to our beloved land.